All right, so we left off yesterday in just introducing Tefillah Sederach, just trying to get understand what it is, okay? So, because as who was it who pointed out? No. It was you. You mentioned you know it was a tefillah. It was a tefillah.
Yeah.
Right, so it's very bizarre, and I know. Remember, you can't work bottom up. Everyone likes to work based on the fact that we say Tefillah Sederach in all these situations and try to work backwards to what it was. We're scientific. We want to go from the beginning to the end. So the beginning is, well, they use the term tefillah, which is odd, right? Normally, we have brachas, right? Say tefillah would imply that there is some aspect, some construct there, which is tefillah-esque, alongside the fact that they use the bracha shmei tefillah. It's not a coincidence that they use shmei tefillah, okay? So what did we say yesterday? What did we start saying yesterday?
It's based on capitalization of the fear.
So the sages never want to lose out on an opportunity, right? So when a person's in a very vulnerable state where he feels the sense of dependence, right? Which I think works out really well. By regular tefillah, this is one of the reasons why. One of the reasons why is because it forces you to acknowledge that you're a dependent existence. But naturally, in a universe where we feel like we're always in control, even though that's sort of an illusion, but we feel like we're in control, you think of yourself as independent of God. So the sages force us, they obligate us to daven, to put us in the right state of mind. By the way, that's why the idea is always that you're supposed to daven and then you start learning, right? Why? Because when you're in the right psychological state of mind, then you can start learning, okay? Or discover, whatever it is. Whatever intellectual activity you want to pursue, you always want to be in the right state of mind. You got to minimize it either. But when it comes to someone traveling somewhere it's dangerous, so there, that's the insecurity and the vulnerability are natural, right? So now, the sages will not let that opportunity go to waste. So they're going to take advantage of it. And what they're going to say is, now's a great time, since you are a dependent existence, you feel that, address God, okay? Bring God into the picture, okay? That seems to be the what's it called? The opening for Tefillah Sederach, okay? Yeah? Okay. Now, so what did Gemara then say? This is like my favorite question on the sugya. So Amar Abaye, who's, you want to read that?
Sure. Wait, sure.
I got Joe's ring today.
Okay, so what does he say? So look at Rashi on the top of Lamed Amud Aleph. Look at Rashi's language, by the way. Always pay attention. You got those little details. Say this small tefillah. Like he's really taking this tefillah idea seriously. What do you call it? Don't say this alone, okay? Or with the language. Right, with the language of individuality. Correct, Adam. I apologize. With the language of individuality. Ella.
Ella the Lashon Rabbim. But rather the language of plurality.
Okay, good. Shea.
Shemitoche. Tefilasohet. Mishmaas. That from the midst of this is, from the midst of a tzibor is.
Well, if you change the language to plural, right, your tefillah will be heard. Okay. So, remember, I always like, there's the obvious, ridiculously obvious problem with this statement, which I put in the group, and then there's like the more subtle question. What's the obvious question here?
So if you just have a singular prayer, you won't be heard?
Oh, you went a little too far. That's good though. No. But you're on the right. But can you like scale that back a little bit?
The opposite direction that in order to be heard, you have to be a.
Like, right, so how about we just tone that down a little bit and say as follows.
He's not even he's a singular person. He's not even in a congregation.
Okay, that's true. Okay, good. But if Abaye is suggesting that the better way, the superior way, is to use a plural language, so then why does the Gemara even record a singular version? And it's like saying like this, like here, we're going to create a prayer, okay? We're going to first use an inferior language and wait for someone to come along and tell us the language stunk and then to improve it. Doesn't make any sense. Which would therefore force us to deduce what?
It did make sense.
Yeah, okay, good. There has to be a rationale why, even though it's always better to make yourself part of the congregation, right? Nonetheless, it's still good to do it yachid. And how far does the Gemara go? Just read one more line. The Gemara even tells you the language to use. Yiratzon. Good. I like how you emphasize the Tolichenu. All right, this is another proof, by the way, that this is a build-off of regular tefillah. Because in regular tefillah, this is another thing that seems to offend people. When you're in Shmoneh Esrei, it's not about you as an individual, ever. Okay? They set up, like moments where you can kind of leave your part of the congregation, right? And then be on your own, i.e. like in Shomei Tefillah. But that's not the core of it. You're not davening for yourself. I can't tell you how often I have to explain to people, it's not Rifa'ini, it's not Slach Li, none of those words. It's Slach Lanu. You are a member of Bnei Yisrael, or the world, in fact, you can argue, when you're davening, okay? In fact, that's part of it. It's so important to see yourself as part of something bigger. I think I told you guys in the past, when are you really supposed to save your tefillah, your individual tefillah for? No. You don't have to wait that long. No, we'll take Zifkin. Zifkin's had a rough day. He wants to make sure that when he does his skull crushers that he can lift strong weights, right? So what are you going to do? You're going to go ahead and you want to ask God for the assistance to be able to do that. Okay, so you can do Shema Kaleinu, but you know what tefillah was? No. You're on the right track. You know what tefillah was actually set up for a person's, again, another one of these things that no one really realizes, but it's true. What tefillah was set up, and I'll give you clues, outside of Shemoneh Esrei. All right. And in fact, okay. Now. Spicer, I'm going to kill you. Okay, let's start from the beginning. What does Hachanun mean? Good. What's the difference between Amida is standing, right? What position are you in when you supplicate? Yishtachavayah, prostration, all right? So it was really set up that you prostrate yourself. And see, okay. So tachanunim are supplications, okay? If you look at the Gaonim, when they first introduce, the Gemara never has a formalized tachanun. The Gemara says, after Amida, right, after you stand, what do? You fall on the floor. And then what do you say? Not the stuff you're talking about. You say, rachum v'chanun chad tasi lefanecha, right? What language is that? Right, good. Then later on, the idea was to standardize it and to introduce a chapter of Tehillim to make it standardized. So that's it. You're not reciting Tachanun. Tachanun is Racham V'Chanun. After that, you're reciting a chapter of Tehillim. So to me, okay, another one of those things that Halacha 1.0, not 2.0, is that if we prostrated during Tachanun and you use that opportunity, you start off by saying Racham V'Chanun Chatzav Necha, which puts you in the right state of mind. God, I'm a sinner. And then ask to make sure you can lift bigger weights for your skull crushers. That's what was supposed to happen. And think how dramatic it is. I'm not saying it, it's theatrical. You go from sitting during Birkot Kriya Shema, stand up for Shemoneh Esrei, and then you fall on your face right afterwards. Okay? And how do we know there was a transition from Shemoneh Esrei to that? Because notice how you go from Sim Shalom, which is in plural, to what's Elokein Atzor? You need that moment to leave the plural and go into the individual. Like you're slowly moving away from being part of the Tzibor into your own personal issues. Okay? And then you fall on your face. But that's not what happens today. Okay, but here, what do we see here? Here we see, we'll call this a machlokas. We'll say this debate in the Gemara, right? One side says use the individual language. One side says use the plural language. And you're going to have to answer the question, if using the plural language is superior, right, why is it that the Gemara even entertains the singular? Or to put it a different way, show me the pros and cons of each side. That's what we're searching for. Well, I want to give it a little more halakhic legs. That's all. No, okay, let's just start. I would start with the fact that the Gemara first presents in Lashon Yavin would seem to indicate that that's really the language it should be in, right? Initially. And there's before Abaye comes along, that's what you would think. Which would, again, everything you're saying makes sense because it's me, it's about me, it's about my trip, which is good, right? I'm the one vulnerable and insecure. The obligation comes down from that, right? But we also know they want it to be a tefillah, right? And one of the proofs they want it to be a tefillah is the fact that what bracha do they use at the end? Shema tefillah. Again, it's not a coincidence. They, in other words, they need this tefillah to express itself or to be constructed as an extension of regular tefillah. Okay, it has to have elements in it that when I look at this thing, I say, "Oh, that's a prayer, right? Built off that prayer." Okay, it's like they're both part of one overall structure of tefillah. Okay, so when the question therefore be right, and there's no question like what you guys are saying. There's no question on a psychological level saying it. As an individual, is certainly more powerful. No question about it. If you say, God, help me out, right? But at least, what do you still have in the tefillah to indicate that it is a type of tefillah? Shomei tefillah. I know I said the word tefillah three times. But think about what I'm saying. Think about it. In other words, we don't want you to think that this tefillah is a different institution of tefillah altogether, right? So to make sure that you know that, so to speak, what do the sages insist? Say Shomei tefillah. By saying Shema Tefillah at the end, everyone will think, oh yeah, what I'm saying right now is really like a Shemoneh Esrei kind of tefillah. So it still gives it its like construct of being part of tefillah. But because the language is Yachid, right? By That makes it very, very different than regular tefillah. So wouldn't the question then therefore be, what Abaye is saying is, of course, when you say things in the plural, what does it mean it's heard more, right? It's not that metaphysically there's something more powerful about it. Rather, what he's saying is that, but in other words, since the institution of tefillah is set up in what kind of language? Plural. So because this is going to be a tefillah also, even though, this is what you guys are saying, even though psychologically it's more impactful if I say it biyachid, but the whole chafza, the whole construct of the tefillah must be what? Must be plural. Because this way it is exactly like that tefillah. You understand? There is the tension here. That's why each side can win. Abaye is saying that it's not enough, so to speak, to have Shema tefillah. The whole tefillah itself must be constructed just like regular tefillah. So it has to be done in the plural. But what do you lose out? Like what you guys are saying. But you lose out that psychological component. Do we see the bracha, because the bracha Shema tefillah, so does that demonstrate, does that give this thing the chalos of being a regular tefillah? Or no, the entire tefillah itself must have that language. That's why I'd rather use the word tension. According to this way of learning, the Chazal are facing a problem here. On the one hand, they want to take advantage or capitalize on your vulnerability, which therefore Yachid makes more sense. On the other hand, they got to make it halachic. To keep it in the halachic realm, it's got to be a tefillah. So this back and forth that Gemara is saying here, in my opinion, is actually reflecting both sides of the tension. There's no resolution to this. By the way, you guys are thinking too tunnel, okay? Okay. We're going to get to this in a second, but think about it. Doesn't mean the moment you leave your house, right? Because let's say you live in West Hempstead, right? So let's say Yohanan, right? So if Yohanan's taking a grocery run to Hempstead, I'm not sure why, right? And he considers Hempstead to be dangerous. So at what point is he chayav to say it? Is it the moment he leaves his house? Meaning, is it the moment you start the journey, even though the first part of the journey is safe, or is it the moment you exit the safe area, right? Right, which moment? But it doesn't mean the person has to experience that vulnerability. I'll give another example. Let's say Sean is an expert in martial arts, okay?
I am.
Right. See how he said it too? Which one? Okay. Not to mention, also in blacksmithing, he made martial two swords, arts. Right? So he knows when he goes out, he says to the listen, the robbers, bring it on, right? Now, he's a tough guy. That doesn't mean, but he's a little nervous, right? You're a little bit nervous, but you're not as nervous as a guy like Clar. Clar's a big baby. He's going to get beaten up quickly, right? I'm just saying it would never work, meaning that the halacha has to figure out some point to say, this is the point you're chayav in. The Gemara never says which type of journey. It says Yotzei L'Derech.
Right.
So ostensibly, the reason why is because traveling back then, by definition, was dangerous. When you left the city walls, right? So that's it. You're like in Hefkerland, right? There's anything can go wrong. Again, we don't have that today. We don't have that same kind of feeling today. Although, I'm not saying we have to flesh that out a little bit, right? The Gemara's not done. Adam, go ahead. Next line.
Are we
talking about
this Rashi?
No, where it says Amos Matzli. So when do you say it?
Amos Matzli, Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Chista, Misha Hashem Mehalech Baderach.
So when you start going on the road.
Yeah.
Now again, it's unclear what road here means, but let's make it simple. Let's assume you've begun your journey, okay? But here's an interesting question. Ad Kama. Okay, that's interesting. Okay, for the uptight halakhic people here, okay? So I ask you, Bezalel, okay? You're Chazal. You are now going ahead and creating this tefillah, okay? So I tell you, when's the obligation to say it? When you go on the road, when you start traveling. Okay, let's take a similar example. Let's say you saw a rainbow, okay? So when you see a rainbow, you have to say a bracha. Right now, let's say you saw a rainbow and then waited an hour. Could you still say the bracha?
No.
I don't care how long. The point is, a long time, a day went by. You can't say the bracha anymore.
If the rainbow's still there.
It's not there.
Oh, okay. You can say the rainbow loud.
Okay. Now, let's apply that back here. What I would say here is that the moment I leave, right? Now, let's say I start traveling. Don't worry how long a parsa is. Let's make up a mountain. Let's call it a mile. Okay?
It's a
thank you. So can we round it up or down?
2.5.
2. Okay. 2.5. Fine. All right. So now let's say you start traveling. Okay. Now you're a mile into your trip, right? And according to this, I have until a mile into the trip to say I have until 2 miles to say Tefillah Seder. Well, that's odd because let's say I've already let's go to Clar. Let's say I've already experienced the fear. Like, I will make it like a nice Lord of the Rings scene, right? Like, I'm traveling, and then you go into one of those forests, right? All those bad things are, like, lurking there, right? And you've been in there for, like, 20 minutes already, right? And then all of a sudden, oh, and you're scared. Oh, I forgot to say Tefillah Sederach. What you would say, yeah, same scared, level 6, okay? You would say you missed that in your opportunity, right? Yeah. You're hyped to say it when you start traveling.
Yeah. No, but you just say the rainbow didn't.
Let's push this to the furthest extent. According to you, this is why it's going to be so tough to define this. According to you, let's say I was traveling from... YU down to Battery Park, for those who know Manhattan, but I'm going to walking through Harlem, okay, when Harlem was dangerous. Now, let's say I headed from YU, I'm literally a block away from my destination in Battery Park, and what happens? I forgot to say Tefillah Sederach. What would you say at that point?
I'm saying the rainbow still being up is if the fear is still there.
Well, one second, am I still traveling?
Yeah, but if the fear is gone, then you should.
Okay, but then according to you, let's say I never experienced any fear. I'm a tough. I'm Sean, Mr. Martial Arts.
Then there was
no. That's not true. You say it no matter what.
There was.
So you want to propose before you look at Rashi? You want to propose that there has to be a certain what?
Yeah,
that's basically. All right. Okay, you're proposing there's a certain amount of time that must go by where a person says at that point, "Listen, I'm okay. I'm good to go." Okay.
If you forgot it, it means that it wasn't important.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So I have a question. Is this reason here? Would you say there
is a reason
to do it?
I don't think it's a mitzvah, though. Right. Is that, actually...
Adkama or Adparsa?
Adkama.
Okay. Zman Ali Yisbala.
Zman Ali Yisbala. So until when can he say it? Is it time to say it? Adparsa.
Adparsa Aval Lo Da'achar Shehala.
Okay, so if I walked past 2.5 miles, I cannot say it anymore. Yeah. Okay, so my trip's 10 miles, I pass 2.5. Okay. Next, Ubahag. Okay, what is he saying? The Bahag has a completely different approach. The Bahag was going to take, I wanted you to say, I was pushing you to say something, Joe, that you didn't say, because you would have been like, the Bahag. What's the Bahag saying? Anyone? What's he saying?
Reinterpret the question
tomorrow. Oh, that's excellent. He reinterprets the question. Meaning, he would say, before he get to what parsa means, he would say that if I'm traveling from YU down to Battery Park, and I'm one block away from Battery Park, I could still say Tefillah Sederach. Okay? And without defining it, I'm still on the journey, right? I have from the beginning of the journey until the end of the journey to say Tefillah Sederach. So what's his parsa business? Different shot. What's parsa?
It's not considered
a journey, a trip. Right?
What
a trip.
Say,
what?
If you're 0.7 of a parsa in, would Rashi say you say it then?
Rashi would say, we're not sure, it's interesting to note, we're not sure what Rashi would hold as the minimum shear for a journey, but let's put that to the side.
Right.
Rashi's going to say that I have, if it's, let's say my trip is 10 miles, right? After I hit 2.5 miles, at that point I can't say Tefillah Sederach anymore.
If I'm on the border of Gaza and I walk into Gaza.
It would seem like, again, they traveled differently back then, but according to the Bahag, if my trip is, you know, 20 feet, right? Yeah, there's no shear. You need a shear of traveling, of trip.
Yeah, she says it's a shear of-
One debate is that, is there a minimum shear? Meaning, is it that if I hit 2.5 miles, I can't say Tefillah Sederach anymore? Or no, as long as I'm on the journey, I can say Tefillah Sederach. That's question number one. And then question number two is this business that the Bahag introduces, that trips have a minimum shear. Now, again, to be fair, back then, a lot different than today. Back then, you had urban centers, right? And then wilderness. Right, it's not like today where we don't really have, even in wilderness, not worried about being robbed, but I'm saying we don't really have the idea of wilderness today. So, okay. So don't get fixated on the amount. It's not the 2.5 miles. There's a halachic way to express 2.5 miles, or parsa, to give like halachic feet or teeth. So what do you say? Let's take the first one. All right, should it be a minimum shear or maximum, depending on your perspective? Should it be that if I've hit 2.5 miles, I can't say it anymore, right? Or... No, as long as I'm on the trip.
In terms of walking or in terms of the distance of the trip?
This is an excellent question, okay? It's a great question about getting kind of what you were bothered by, okay? Let's say I'm flying to Israel, okay? When does my trip begin?
Right at the door.
Okay, you could say that, right? You could say that. Or you, for me, experientially, you know when I feel like I've left? When I get to the airport. Okay, when I get to the airport, because you're technically speaking, you're no longer in like a neutral land, you know what I mean? But you can, if you argue that Tefillah Sederach is a hechsher, meaning it was set up as a mechanism to really say it's preparing you for the trip, So what Sean is saying is that there's a distance that takes place where you've left your house, but you haven't quite exactly begun the trip yet. You're like in that intermediate stage, right? It's not to say, in other words, you're saying as soon as you leave, you have a fear. I'm thinking more like, well, like in the old days, they were in these cities, right? So think about it. I'm not saying this is exactly what they thought, but like, you know, like when you look behind you, you still see the walls of the city. How do you feel when you can still see the walls of the city? Safe, right? You know you're on the way on the trip, but you still feel the...
Yeah, but I look back and I'm like, I'm not in there anymore.
I know, but you can still see it. You can still see it, though. Exactly, right. I know that's what you said. What do you call it? So if it's a hechsher, so then ultimately, if you then it could be a shear. If you miss out on it, right, then you can't say anymore. Meaning after a certain distance, you're in the trip. Or do you say, no, it's the trip itself that creates the obligations. So that's the bahag. But I would say at any point in the trip, I can say it because I'm in the trip. The question is it going on the trip, right? Or is it from within the trip? If it's going on the trip, well, you can say there's a certain amount of time that goes by where I haven't quite, completely been tripized or whatever, been traveling, right? Again, like for me, like when I get to the airport, right? At that point, like I feel like I am gone. I'm away from my house, right? But not when I leave my door, right? When I leave my door, like I know I'm going to Israel.
Same